Well, thank you for coming to my website and joining me on this 18th day of October, the year 2020, from the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. Well, what kind of a day are you having? I'm having a beautiful day. You know, like Mr. Rogers used to sing that nice little jingle, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor, would you be mine?" Y'all remember that, right? Fanciful tune. We used to love singing it to our children and then to theirs also. But I'd like to ask you a question. How many times did you see Mr. Rogers give the same lesson over and over and over and over to those children? He didn't. He came up with a new scheme every time he had a show, a new theme, a new idiom, so to say, that the children could follow in our childish minds. I recall when I was a kid, the earliest type of TV shows that I recall they had for children was Captain Jet. That was one where he would make a zero around his eye and go zoom. When they took off, he would introduce the next cartoon for us youngsters on a black and white television. And the screen was 7 to 9 inches wide. And it was in this big brown box. That's the first mental remembrance of a television screen, 6-7 inches wide, that's it, in black and white. And these huge tubes, radio tubes, you would look in the back where they kept the tubes for the televisions or the radios back in the day. And if you would pull it out of the box that the radio was in, it looked like a miniature city lit up because each tube, the electricity came in and gave it a different hue, a different thing. And man, I used to look at the tubes in those old radios. And my daddy said, "Look what happens when you take one tube out." And he took it out and the whole thing went dead. And I said, "What?" And he said, "Now watch this." And he put it back in, and all the tubes lit up. Yeah, my daddy was teaching me lessons. And it's one that I'm going to pass on. That's a lesson that I passed on to you. Did you get it? Because all of us have been given lessons in life, these lessons that procure us. If we take the lessons correctly, apply them to where they ought to be applied, when those lessons come, especially from people that love you so much that they're going to tell you the truth. All right, here's the truth. I'm not your anchor. I don't want to be anyone's anchor. I don't want anyone's life hanging upon what I may do or say, because I live my life for me. I don't live it for the other person, and I'm damn sure that they are not living their lives for me. Can I get an amen from the church? All right. Recently, I spoke with a human being that could not believe the way I spoke because they remembered me in their mind as Pastor John. I had to correct them and say, "Don't call me that. Don't mix me in that crew. No, I'm no longer, number one, your pastor, and I do not function in that office as a pastor, though I am one." You see, because I'm not functioning in the office doesn't mean that I don't yet believe the things that I've studied years and years of my life. I have only forsaken one major obstacle, the last one in my leap towards God, and that was to put no other God before Yahweh. I go directly to Yahweh. This is what I'm asking each of you to do that listen to me on this website. Find Jehovah, find God, find Allah, find whatever. Find it and cleave to it with your whole heart, because I'm not your anchor. And sure enough, you damn sure are not mine. Now, what I mean by that is that when we look at a life buoy that's floating out in the ocean, and one's parent may say to the child, now, don't go beyond the buoy, because it gets deep out there and the riptides are beyond those buoys. And those buoys keep you safe if you stay within the distance. And if you get hung up on one, they'll see you because they know that the buoys are always there. Because the buoy is anchored. When you follow why it doesn't move, why it's stationary, basically, because it is anchored in bedrock. At times, hundreds and hundreds of feet from the shore that we walk on. And so, I cannot be anyone's buoy. I don't want to be it. The knowledge that I may have, I'm sharing it because it might not apply to you. Some people have so much money, so many goods and things, they think that what they have is has to become their life preservers. And all you have to do is, as the power was cut off here three times in my home, that's why, well, one of the reasons why I'm late putting this up. And so I'm living, and I'm trying to take advantage of the time that I have to talk to you, to tell you that you are no other person's buoy if that person can lift themselves up by their own bootstrap. And there comes a time when we have to stop feeling sorry for people that should know better but are not doing better by now. See, that's us trying to become that buoy for that person. Well, give them another chance. No, I said it before and I say it again. You are not going to be satisfied until you find almost an exact carbon copy of what you believe in life. You will never be happy. And it has to be a transparent carbon copy of your soul. And if you don't get with that, you're making a mistake. I don't know how many marriage counseling sessions I've done in my life. Recently, I was made aware of one because I came in contact. The name is not important. But my goodness, everything that I stated prior to this marriage taking place has taken place, and I heard it when I spoke with both persons that's in this couple, if you can call it that. And it's the most pathetic thing. And guess what I was saying? I was telling them, think with me, think with your own mind. Because they were saying, oh, you look so good, Pastor John. You look so good, PJ. And I don't, what? And I did notice a pulling down on them. I've been telling people for years that I never would have stayed with Lucy if she were pulling me down. Ever. I don't care what kind of vow you took when you stood at that altar or whatnot. That wasn't the throne of God. In your heart, you thought the person loved you for some reason. And you know what? We have to get the records right. Those of us that have this religious background in our ancient faith of biblical Christianity that worked for me because it kept my ass out of trouble. Number one, I wasn't even thinking about looking at none of those women in the church because I know that once a man that was prosperous in his way, as I was, and has a woman already, gets with another woman, that can't beacon or burn nothing but trouble. Because you know what you have when you have the first woman and to fucking around with a second one, you've got to be kind of crazy. That's how come I really enjoy doing retreats with men. I was trying to get that idea over to them. Come on, man, and you got one of them. And nowadays in this Western economy, if you don't have the money to accommodate one of these fine-looking sisters that some of these brothers are talking about, and it's no wonder to me why many a man are going to trans men and vice versa. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I'm not going to condemn anybody for what they do to stay healthy. I'm just saying, be careful out there. You need to stay healthy. Now, some of you think that what I just said was giving attribution to something, you know, to some kind of sodomite thing. You need to mind your own business and get your head out of the gutter. That's what you need to do. Ain't nobody looking for a toilet wash here. But that's where the evangelical's mind goes. I used to be in meetings and we used to talk about that and things like that, about homosexuality would come up. I'm sitting in the room. I know in my heart of hearts that I love me some brothers. And I was saying to, and most of them was those white boys. I don't know why they find sex such a difficult topic to talk about. To the black man, we came up in it, bathed in it. Family, cousins, brothers, sisters, touching each other, moving, living, having life. Y'all need to stop bullshitting me. You know what it was. Learn how to play with it, play through it, and everything. And if you live in one of them, what do they call them? Somebody told me something about the Barack Obamas. If you live in one of them families of purity, well, you go ahead on if you want to think that it went like that. I don't believe that. I know how it is. But, you know, we got this value system set up by our colonizers. Okay? I mean, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I think that the most liberating thing that I can think of on this 18th day of October in the year 2020, the most liberating thing that I could possibly think of at this moment, and you may think PJ has lost his mind. No, I haven't. I'm doing this for those of you that need to listen because I'm trying to wake you up. I don't give a good damn what you think of me. Wake up. If you're following what the white man taught you in that book, what you should be doing. Now, I read that book, and I know because I'm a theologue, and I know how to become a theologue. I'm one. I've trained students under me. That's why the young men that I trained under me that kept the teaching are still strong and vibrant in fighting when a pimp would try to take money from their family. That's the only reason I was in the pulpit, try to save a brother from that. But not from the pimpery that is taking place in the pulpit now, because the betrayal or the forfeiture of the pulpit from the masculine agenda to the feminine agenda is what weakened the church. Now, please don't get homosexuality mixed up with femininity, because that's two different things, two different things. So do your work and know who you're listening to when you talk to him. So since none of that shit matters about anything, the only thing that does matter is whether God is true and alive. Would God want me to be your buoy? And would God want you as my buoy? If the answer is yes in any way, and if any of us conjure on the thoughts of taking advantage of that free ride or whatever you may call it. How about this? If I told you that God created you with the sense of creation within yourself, that if you take the gift that God has given you and used it appropriately, that you would be either obtaining that gift on your way to obtaining it or have done so and are looking back in a retreating way as you retire into a life of more adventure, because that's where I am. You see, to look at Pastor John and say, Pastor John, how could you talk about mixing a cocktail? Birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. I do it, you do it, let's fall in love. Yeah, fall in love with life, people. Fall in love with life. Don't become anybody's buoy. Oh, if you got little children, don't read me wrong. You better keep them afloat, regardless of how long it takes them to get out of that adolescent stage. Sometimes it takes boys longer to come out of that stage. That's why there needs to be more men in our community, albeit gay or straight, working on the same field together. You know, I saw an interesting strip on a gay man's post where someone mentioned to him that his workout agent and he would make a nice couple, all right? And the gay man told him, but the workout agent is straight. And he brought him on his show, and they were both talking about their preferences have nothing to do with their friendship and with the camaraderie. And I thought that that was one of the most freshest approaches of let people be themselves. You know what? All right. I'm in my car, and I'm riding. It was a hot summer afternoon in Los Angeles. And I pull up on the signal. I just got my car out of the car wash. And it was shining, and I was admiring how the sun reflected off the hood. When this image of this most perfect, beautiful young man, I guess about 21, 22. No, not that old. 19 or 20. Yeah. Passed in front on the crosswalk. And I could not believe the beauty of that young man. Just beautiful. And you know how when the traffic is moving around you and it blocks your view? So I kind of moved my car up a little bit. Not on or crossing the crosswalk, and so that I could view him. And then the bus moved, and it was a clear view before I accelerated, and I saw him step off the curb and begin to walk. And I said, thank God. Thank God, listen to me, that I'm in Los Angeles, that I can see such a beautiful, beautiful human being. And to give the praise to you. There was no fat. Everything was where it belonged. But he was a voluptuous, strong young man. If I would lie to you and tell you that I feel the same way when you would see a voluptuous woman walking, I'm not lying, because I've never felt that way about a woman in my life. No, I didn't view my wife that way. I loved her as the mother of my children. We both had that agreement, and we stayed with each other under that colonialized death threat. Till death do us part. Now, what made my relationship unique? I chose the way God directed me. And whenever you choose in that direction and know that Yahweh is in charge of this, No one else, because you're not hanging on to nobody else's buoys. You've learned to see the results of a good life from looking deep into the life of one that lives out godly results. Thank you for coming to my website. Remember, I ain't your buoy, and you ain't mine either.